Testing in the House Chamber, Legislative Day 98.
The House will come to order. Members will take their seats. Visitors will retire from the chamber. The Sergeant-at-Arms will close the doors. Members and visitors are asked to please silence all electronic devices. This evening's prayer will be offered by Representative Fisher. Members and visitors in the gallery are asked to please stand for the prayer, as well as to remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance. Representative Fisher.
Let us pray. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts are open, we ponder our hearts, our deepest feelings of love and devotion, our closest organ of vitality, our place of deep decision-making, our instrument of being fully ourselves, our hearts that throb for contact with you. Our hearts are open. They are not always open by choice, for we would like sometimes to close our hearts and our minds and our hands. But they are open because our hearts cannot resist your steady care and address. Our hearts are open for you, very God. You are the one who has made us so that our hearts are restless till they rest in you. Do your mysterious, majestic godding with our hearts. Reclaim, renew, re-enliven, that we may be transplanted, transformed, transposed. Become by your attentiveness whom we have not yet embraced, open and receptive, honest and undefensive, unafraid and committed to obedience. Let the pulse of our heart throb now according to the cadences of your rule. Command and we will obey. Overrule and we will yield. Lead and we will walk where we never thought to go. Unto you, not unto each other, not unto our pet projects, not unto our favorite charity or passion, unto you, our hearts are open. We are yours. Be our God yet again. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The gentleman from Harnett, Representative Lewis, is recognized for motion.
Mr. Speaker, the journal for July 18th has been examined and found to be correct. I move that it be approved as written.
Representative Lewis moves the journal for July 18th be approved as written. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it, and the journal is approved as written. Chapter bills will be noted. Representative Lewis, recognized, sent forth committee report. Clerk will read.
Representative Lewis, rules, calendar, operations of the House report. House Bill 863, qualifications for sheriff expunction, favorable.
Counter-Spent Rule 36B.
Senate Bill 123, geographically isolated schools, transportation efficiency, Currituck County schools, favorable.
Counter-Spent Rule 36B.
Senate Bill 199, child sex abuse strengthened laws, favorable.
Counter, Percent Rule 36B.
Senate Bill 562, the Second Chance Act, favorable.
Counter, Percent Rule 36B.
Senate Bill 124, small town mixed beverages election requirements, favorable and referred to alcoholic beverage control.
Bills referred to committee on alcoholic beverage control. Representative Lewis recognized, sent forth further committee report. Clerk will read.
Representative Lewis, Rules Calendar Operations of the House Committee Report, Senate Bill 321, Motorcycles, Face Mask, Favorable House Committee Substitute, Unfavorable Senate Committee Substitute.
The Senate Committee Substitute is placed on the unfavorable calendar. The House Committee Substitute would be counter, Percent Rule 36B. Calendar. Senate Bill 438. Clerk will read.
Senator Berger, Senate Bill 438, a bill to be entitled an act to modify the implementation of North Carolina Read to Achieve program in order to attain statewide reading proficiency by the third grade. General Assembly of North Carolina next.
Members, we're going to take care of the amendments before further debate on the bill. Representative Richardson recognized to send forth Amendment ABN 54, the Corker Reed.
Representative Richardson moves to amend the bill on page 3, line 22, by rewriting the line to read.
The gentleman is recognized to debate the amendment, and before Representative Richardson, before you do, members, we're now in business of the House. Please come to order. The gentleman has the floor.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. Members, this is a friendly amendment I spoke of on Wednesday. And since that time, I've had Senator Berger visit my office, and he is fine with this amendment. I haven't had a chance to talk to the House sponsor yet, but I'm hoping he will be fine with it. Simply what it does is it adds one more charge to the committee to make certain that we look at all phases of programs that have been successful both in this country and outside the country. And I believe the committee can factor into the other things that would make it successful that wouldn't necessarily make it successful here. But I think things are so dire and so important that we meet this challenge, that we look at every crook and cranny that we can find to make certain that we have the most successful reading program we can have in this state. And there's no sense in reinventing the wheel. If other people are doing it really well, we need to copy that and implement it. So I would hope that you would pass this amendment. Thank you.
Gentleman from Union, Representative Horn, recognized to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representative Richardson, I certainly appreciate the fact that you went to the trouble of talking with the originator of the bill, as well as you had given us all a heads up on this last week. I think this makes a great deal of sense, and I urge the members to support the amendment.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is the adoption of Amendment A3. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock machine and record the vote. 105 having voted in the affirmative, none of the negative. The amendment's adopted. Representative Myers recognized and forth an amendment, AB 45. Clerk will read.
Representative Myers moves to amend the bill on page 10, lines 19 through 21, by rewriting the lines to read.
Gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, this amendment addresses the use of assessment tests in Read to Achieve, and it's related to controversy that you may have been hearing about to the state purchasing of a product called iStation to provide assessments to third graders to determine their reading level. What this amendment would do is it would allow your local school district to choose to use an assessment other than iStation if they would rather use a different assessment than the one that the state has chosen. The controversy that you may have read about or heard about from your local educators has two elements. One element is about the purchasing process, and this amendment has nothing to do with the purchasing process. The other piece of it is about, can your district choose to use the product that they believe is best for assessing their students, or do they have to use the one picked by DPI? And all this amendment would do is give flexibility to your local district. Thank you.
Gentleman from Union, Representative Horn, recognized to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, appreciate Representative Myers putting forth this amendment from the standpoint that he gave me a copy of it, and I'm trying to understand it as we speak. But he did bring this up to me in previously. The concern I have with the amendment, and by the way, I acknowledge the turmoil currently underway with regard to the selection of iStation. I point out that there's been delay implemented in, or a delay agreed upon in implementing iStation, which means that we've all got an opportunity to change our mind. But I think it's important to note that when you're trying to do assessments, you're trying to not only determine how the progress of a student, you're also trying to determine the progress of a teacher and a school and a school district. In order to do that, you need some consistency across the state. So with all due respect to Representative Meyer, I understand. I don't disagree with the idea of local control, but I think we all need to be able to understand how do we compare one to another, not only as students, but as districts across the state. I'm going to respectfully ask you to not support the amendment.
For our purpose, the gentleman from Orange, Representative Meyer, rise.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just to address the amendment a second time.
The gentleman's recognized. Debate the amendment a second time.
I know my colleague, Representative Horn, knows this, but this does not change the assessments that we use to determine how many kids are reading on grade level at the end of the year. That's a different type of assessment. And so the ability to still compare performance over the course of the year is not taken away by being able to use this. I think that this is a case where many of your school districts want the ability to use the tool that they think will help them with instruction the most. Thank you.
For what purpose? The lady from Orange, Representative Inskeer, rise.
To debate the motion.
The lady has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, I've spent much of my political career in my elected office working with children who have developmental disabilities, and especially in addiction, not addiction disease, but any kind of disability that would make them different learners. And there's not adequate evidence that this tool would be available for those students. Especially learning to read for this population is really important. And so the local education agency, the local people are the ones that actually know what's going on with those children. And I think it's really important for us to remember that that children are so different. And having children with disabilities be able to read will give them a boost into adulthood. We are now seeing children with developmental disabilities going to college. And because they have been given the right kind of early education and education that allows them to do that. Those local education agencies, the specialists in these areas, are the ones that are doing groundbreaking work with this population. It is so rewarding. I had a mother in my office recently who had a Down baby syndrome, 5 years old. She cried, "He's getting ready to read his first book." That's the kind of feedback I want to get. And so I think it's important for us not to make a unilateral decision that everyone has to do everything just the same. Our children are different. I hope you'll vote for this amendment and allow the local people make a decision about what will work for their students.
For what purpose, the gentleman from Union, Representative Horn, rise.
Speak a second time.
The gentleman's recognized. Debate the amendment a second time.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I'd want to point out to you on page 9 of the bill, section 8, the bill requires the State Board of Education to analyze the passage rates for alternative assessments and then submit a report to the Joint Legislative Education Oversight on the results of its analysis, along with recommendations to eliminate certain alternative assessments. So the bill does call for the State Board to take a look at this process, to analyze it, and then come back to our Joint Legislative Education Oversight, which we run during the period between long session and short session, report. It actually requires them to report by January of 2020, so we'll have time to consider that, and I think that would be the appropriate time to take up this concept. I ask you again to please not vote for the amendment.
For what purpose, gentlemen from Forsyth, Representative Montgomery, rise.
Tags Representative Horn a question.
Representative Horn, does the gentleman yield?
I yield.
He yields.
You stated that the joint oversight would run in between long and short. Do you think there'll be a time in between those two sessions?
I expect so, because I'm sure that we will shortly vote to override the veto, have a budget, and move on with our business and provide the services to the state of North Carolina. Thank you for the question.
Further discussion, further debate on the amendment. If not, the question for the House, the adoption of Amendment A4. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote.
Clerk will have machine record the vote. 63 having voted in the affirmative, 50 in the negative. The amendment's adopted. Further discussion, further debate on the amendment. On the bill. If not, the question for the House is the passage of Senate Bill 438 on third reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Barnes, Representative White, do the members wish to stop talking a minute and record on the vote? Clerk Lot Machine, record the vote. 75 having voted in the affirmative, 39 in the negative. The Senate Bill 438 passes third reading. Bill's ordered engrossed, sent to the Senate. For what purpose, Gentleman Cabarrus, Representative Pittman, rise.
Change my vote on that second amendment, the Meyer Amendment. I hit the wrong button.
How's Jim wish to be recorded, sir?
No.
Gentlemen, of course, haven't voted no on the Meyer Amendment. Senate Bill 194, Clerk will read.
The President of the Senate, the Speaker of the House of Representatives, the conferees appoint to resolve the difference between the Senate and the House of Representatives on Senate Bill 194, a bill to be entitled an act to remove the cap on satellite annexations for the town of West Jefferson and the city of Saluda. The conferees recommend the Senate and the House of Representatives adopt this report. Date conferees approved report July 17, 2019. General Assembly of North Carolina.
For what purpose, the gentleman from Watauga, Representative Russell, rise.
Speak to the bill.
The gentleman has the floor to debate the bill.
This is a bill we passed overwhelmingly just a few weeks ago. It involved, or a few days ago, involved satellite annexation for West Jefferson and Saluda. When it went back to the Senate, Senator Berger wanted to add annexation issue for Yanceyville. This involves annexation of the Dan River Water Intake Facility. It's property already owned by the town of Yanceyville. I know of no opposition to this idea.
Further discussion, further debate on the bill? If not, the question for the House. Passed Senate Bill 194 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will light machine record the vote. 110 having voted in the affirmative, 3 in the negative. Senate Bill 194 passes second reading, remains on the calendar. And members, the reason it has to remain on the calendar, that is as a roll call bill, so third reading has to happen tomorrow. Senate Bill 190, clerk will read.
Senator McInnes, Senate Bill 190, a bill to be entitled an act to expand authorization for the county to impose special assessment for dam repair. General Assembly of North Carolina and Act.
Gentleman from Moore, Representative Bowles, recognize debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Debate the bill. During Hurricane Matthew, the Wood Lake Community Dam in Moore County was damaged, and what this does is gives the geographical area a referendum for them to impose a fee to fix the dam. This is a referendum, and it does not bind the county in obligations. It's the county's choice that if after the referendum they want to fund the dam, they can. And it's been through the Senate and the House, and ask for your support.
For what purpose, gentlemen from Chatham, Representative Reeves, rise?
To debate the bill.
Gentlemen's recognized, debate the bill.
And I would also join Representative Bowles in asking for your support on the bill. It's very helpful parts of this bill actually help some small towns on some issues that we had a couple of years ago, so we appreciate your support.
Further discussion, further debate? Not the question for the House. Is the passage of Senate Bill 190 on second reading? Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Clerk will light machine and record the vote. 111 having voted in the affirmative, 2 in the negative. Senate Bill 190 passed the second reading. Will without objection be read third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina.
Actually strike that. That one is as well as a roll call bill, so that remains on the calendar. Senate Bill 5, clerk will read.
Senators Brown, Harrington, and Crawford, Senate Bill 5, a bill to be entitled School Safety Omnibus, General Assembly, North Carolina Enacts.
Lady from Johnson, Representative White, recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You all voted 112-0 in March of 2019 to pass this bill. It took a journey after going through many committees to get to the House. It then took a journey and went to sleep across the chamber over there. We realized that in the importance of this bipartisan bill, that most of the people in this body has worked on the committee. Over half of us were on the Safer Schools Task Force that worked on this bill. And so here it is today, almost the same way it was when you voted for it in March of 19. But I am going to point out a couple of things that has been added and tweaked. First of all, the general bill says to establish the school safety requirements apply to all public schools and strongly suggest allow all non-public schools to participate. Clarify the powers and duties for the Center for Safer Schools in DPI. Require county boards of education to report to state and local management officials and county commissioners during county states of emergency. And these are like big, major states of emergencies. At first, we had it just reporting to our local county commissioners or through them to the local emergency management. And what has been added is to do that as well to the state. Define the term school resource officers and require training for SROs. Require annual vulnerability assessments for public school buildings. Require threat assessment teams be established at each school and codify the duties of the threat assessment teams. There are two words that will be changed in this particular bill. We will use the word practical for school psychologists. We know that in some counties in our state there are no school psychologists. So where it is possible, we want the school psychologist to be a part of the threat assessment team. But if they don't have one, then we could use psychologists, sociologists, other disciplines. So when it's practical, when they do have them. And also, instead of replacing using the word individual for the threat assessment team, we're saying students, because students are our customers in the school system. So we don't want to open that up to be doing threat assessments on a larger population. Require local boards of education to require peer-to-peer support programs at all schools with grade 6 and higher. Require the Department of Public Instruction to transfer up to $1.5 million to be used for the digital panic alarm system, and that would go to the Department of Public Safety from DPI. Both of those organizations are in favor of that. We have fully funded the anonymous tip app with the $6 million that we allocated with our bill last year, with our budget last year, from this body recommending that. And we had some money left over from the contract that we made with the Sandy Hook Promise Program. So the $1.5 million would go from DPI to DPS and be used for the panic alarm system for all school systems. Require trauma kits in every public school classroom and require training for school personnel who would be reasonably expected to use a trauma kit. This does not mean that school systems have to go out and purchase a trauma kit. It just means that, you know, if you're on I-95 or I-40 and you come upon a wreck, you don't have a trauma kit, but what you do have is a T-shirt and you can pull it off and stuff a wound. So the training is more important than the actual kit. So anyway, that's the little tweaks that has been made by the committee. I really appreciate your support through this long and arduous process. I thank the members, and I wish that protocol would allow me to have the members of the Safer Schools House Select Committee to stand, but you all know who you are, and thank you so very much, and I appreciate your support and your vote.
For what purpose, the lady from Wake, Representative Adcock, rise.
To debate the bill.
Lady has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I want to thank my colleague for bringing this bill back to us, even in its changed form. And, of course, I did vote for this bill when we voted on it the first time. It's come back to us with the addition of Section 8 about trauma kits. And I had some concerns about this section, even though the intent is really good. There's so many unanswered questions about the trauma kit itself, what contents go in it are quite nebulous. The fact that uh, even though every public school classroom has to have a trauma kit. We don't know how many classrooms those are. I checked with both DPI and the School Board Association. They didn't have a number, although we do know in the last recounting, the number of individual school teachers in the public schools are over 93,000, so that might be an estimate. So having spoken with Representative White about this, I would like to offer an amendment tomorrow and object to third reading today so that we could debate that amendment tomorrow. Thank you very much.
Further discussion, further debate on the bill? If not, the question for the House, passage of Senate Bill 5 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Reeves. Clerk Light Machine record the vote. 113 having voted in the affirmative and one in the negative. Senate Bill 5 passed the second reading. Will without objection.
Objection.
Haven't been objected to. Remains on the calendar. Senate Bill 498. Clerk will read.
Senators Jackson, Blue, and Newton. Senate Bill 498. A bill to be entitled and act to facilitate rapid response to state declared disasters by exempting certain business and employees from registration and tax laws during the disaster response period. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Lady from Davie, Representative Howard, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker and members of the House. Senate Bill 498 will basically do two things to help facilitate and expedite recovery after natural disaster. First, it will provide tax and regulatory relief for non-resident businesses and non-resident employees that perform disaster related work during a disaster response period at the request of a public utility or a public communication provider. And secondly, it allows the Secretary of Revenue to issue a temporary license to an importer, exporter, and distributor or transporter of motor fuels in response to a disaster declaration. So I would ask for your support.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the passage of Senate Bill 498 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock machine record the vote. 114 having voted in the affirmative, none, the negative. Senate Bill 498 passed the second reading. Will without objection. Be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Question for the House is the passage of Senate Bill 498 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. Senate Bill 498 having passed third reading is ordered enrolled and sent to the governor. We'd ask our pages to come forth. Also, while they're making their way up here, on behalf of Representative Clark of Mecklenburg County, Representative Morey of Durham County, the chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to members of the North Carolina chapter of Moms Demand Action. Would y'all please stand so we could welcome you? Thanks for being with us this evening. Members, if I have your attention, of course, we have a new group of pages here with us this week. To our pages, the clerk is going to call you by name. When he does, if you would step forward and wave so that my colleagues and I will know who each of you are. The clerk will introduce the pages.
Rachel Bowers, Wake County, sponsor Representative Presnell. William Carney, Iredell County, sponsor Representative Sane. Jacob Kress, Macon County, sponsor Representative Corbin. Carson Daly, Wayne County, sponsor Speaker Moore. Krista Dozier, Wake County, sponsor Representative Batch. Caleb Evans, Person County, sponsor Representative Hurley. James Gatehar, Wake County, sponsored Representative Davis. Avery Houck, Wake County, sponsored Speaker Moore. Anna Jones, Lenoir County, sponsored Representative Humphrey. Colin Jones, Johnston County, sponsored Representative White. Nathaniel Moore, Nash County, sponsored Representative Galliard. Jillian Resort, Catawba County, sponsored Representative Russell. Jasmine Scott, Wayne County, sponsored Speaker Moore. Caroline Singleton, Wake County, sponsored Representative Ross. Jacob Stone, Johnston County, sponsored Representative Barnes. Mason Taylor, Wake County, sponsored Representative Batch. Brooke Wright, Wake County, sponsored Representative Everett.
To our pages, we want to welcome you here with us this week. We hope you have an opportunity to learn a little bit about your government and hopefully to make some friends from around the state. We'd ask my colleagues to please join me in welcoming our pages with us this week. You may return to your post. Notices and announcements. Gentleman from Iredell, Representative Fraley, recognized for an announcement.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Education universities will meet tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. in room 421.
For what purpose does the lady from Mecklenburg, Representative Logan, rise?
Point of personal privilege, Mr.
Speaker. Ladies recognized.
At 9:30 a.m. this morning in Mecklenburg County, one of our representatives from the North Carolina Highway Patrol was critically injured as he pursued a motorist. He came off the ramp and was hit by a pickup truck on his motor. He came off the bike and was transported to a local hospital there in Charlotte, where he remains in ICU in critical injury. Myself and Representative Belk went to the hospital to check on the trooper and to visit with the representatives of the North Carolina Highway Patrol, along with the troop commander there, Captain Hook, and Major Johnson, who came in from Raleigh. There were numerous members of the patrol there. The trooper at that time was in an induced coma. He has severe injuries to his neck, and they're not sure what the outcome is going to be. So we ask that you send prayers out to him and his family. We also want to send out thank yous to the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Police Department, who has taken over calls for the entire Mecklenburg County for the Highway Patrol. They also coordinated with the California Highway Patrol to fly Trooper Wooten's daughter in. They coordinated to get her to LAX and through security so that she could get through and get here to Raleigh. They were also going to make sure that they send CMPD officers to Raleigh to have her transported to Charlotte to be with her father. But the Highway Patrol assured them that they could take that over and get her into Charlotte. So, as I said, it's very critical for Trooper Wooten at this time, and it's just another example just what law enforcement officers go through to keep the roads safe for us and other people to travel out there and what they're up against every day while they're out there working. And I thank you for your time.
Thank you,
Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative Logan. I appreciate you advising the House of this. We remember him in our prayers. For what purpose, gentlemen, from Bowles, from Moore, Representative Bowles, rise.
May an announcement.
Gentleman has four.
First of all, I'd like to keep the trooper in your prayers. Also, there'll be an ABC meeting tomorrow, room 1228, 3 o'clock. This is for discussion only for House Bill 971, and there's possibility another bill will be added if you'll just check your emails. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further notices and announcements.
If not, the gentleman from Harnett, Representative Lewis, is recognized for a motion.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House adjourn to reconvene Tuesday, July 23rd at 1 o'clock p.m., subject to the standard stipulations set forth in Rule 15.1.
Representative Lewis moves, seconded by Representative Hastings, that the House do now adjourn to reconvene Tuesday, July 23rd at 1 p.m., subject to the standard stipulation set forth in Rule 15.1. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. We stand adjourned. Special message from the Senate, Clerk O'Ree.
Mr. Speaker, it is ordered that the message be sent to the House of Representatives with information that Senator Searcy has been added to a conferee on Senate Bill 621, House Committee Substitute Number 2, 5th Edition, a bill to be entitled an act to reduce testing administered to students in public schools. Respectfully, Sarah Holland, Principal Clerk.
Noted. Members, while we are out of session, the chair has had a couple of folks who asked what time is session tomorrow. Session is at 1 p.m.
On motion of the chair, Senate Bill 199, Child Sex Abuse Strengthen Laws, is withdrawn from the calendar 36B and re-referred to the Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.